Once again, we are taking up our study in the book of Proverbs. We are going to be looking at many verses, and so probably the most profitable thing will be listen to the text as they're read, and you might occasionally might park in places where you can open and take a look as well. So you're kind of experiencing the book of Proverbs as first generation Christians might have, and listening and hearing and learning. We're thinking about wisdom for folly, almost a oxymoron as a title. How do you have wisdom for folly? Well, it fits with the titles for each one that we've been studying. So, what can I say? Well, this picture probably says it all. You put that up for, nope, too far. Oops. There we go. Common idea. I look at it carefully, think for a moment. But this is sort of distinctly what the book of Proverbs talks about in terms of fools. Now, the book of Proverbs contains many, many verses on fools and their behavior. And many of those verses are repeated. They're just simply the same verse over and over again. And sometimes they are the same idea, just with a little variety, a little change, mostly driven by the context in which we find them. And so what I thought tonight, as we've been doing on these topical part of these series, just to look at what does the Bible say? What does Proverbs say? Now, Proverbs probably has more to say about fools than any other part of the scripture. And sometimes when you're going through this and you're thinking about this, what comes to mind is Jesus' warning to be very careful about saying to someone, you fool, you know. And so we want to take that into heart in that we don't casually, easily, without thought, without due consideration or even care, start calling people, well, you know, you're a fool. It's easy to do. We're seeing an awful lot of public foolishness in multiple venues, and our contemporary media just simply amplifies it. And it almost desensitizes us to it. It's just so common. But the Bible, as it works through and thinks through, and particularly as Proverbs does, it helps us to stop, carefully consider, and particularly think, are there aspects of my life where I am foolish? I'm not as wise as I could be. I'm not growing in wisdom. And that's what we want to think about. We certainly don't want to be people who sit on the wrong end of the tree branch we are sawing off. But I think we're watching a whole culture, frankly, do that. And so let's think about this together. And first, I want to take these texts in the category or into the topic of discerning a fool. How does the book of Proverbs help us to think through this idea of what is a fool? What does he look like? How can we know if we are one? Discerning a fool. And so we have the character of a fool. And so in the book of Proverbs, a fool is someone who despises wisdom. He is one who rejects instruction. He is a person who can't be taught or won't be taught. A fool is someone who speaks rashly and carelessly. He is quick to speak, quick to say. And a fool is often causing strife. He is causing contention. A fool has a tendency to mock at sin and to make fun of what is important, even to look down on just practical wisdom and godliness. A fool hates to be corrected. Hates correction. Now, we can see in all of these at the beginning is that a fool is someone who is just full of pride, self-centered, self-focused, self-important. Proverbs says a fool does not fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. And so a fool does not listen to advice or accept rebuke, but he follows his own way in his own heart. A fool's mouth is a source of trouble and violence. His words are like firebrands and arrows and death, Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. A fool's folly is evident to everyone. And you'd almost put in parentheses, except himself. Which then makes satiring a fool remarkably easy. Right? He can't see it himself, but of course, he's going to be very sensitive. Right? Fool's folly is evident to everyone, and he repeats it like a dog that returns to his vomit. What a lovely image. If you've ever owned a dog who got sick and did that, just think, yep, there goes fool. That's what fools do. And so this idea that they can't see it themselves. In Proverbs 26, verses 6 and 9, a fool cannot be trusted with a message or a proverb, for he will ruin it or he will misuse it. And so even when one of the ways that you impart wisdom by teaching proverbs and teaching instruction and teaching people to think about how an analogy and an image and a metaphor can help you understand areas of life that you don't yet really understand. And so this idea of learning in that way, you can't do that with a fool. Because then he takes those analogies and turns them on their head. He misuses them. He abuses them. And finally, a fool is worse than a sluggard. For he is wise in his own eyes, and there is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 26, verses 12 and 16. You see, even a person who is lazy, who is a sluggard, who will not do their work, who is caught up in their own ease and comfort and securing it or avoiding anything that might challenge it, there's a way out of that. And so you can begin small steps of self-discipline, small steps of meeting milestones, small steps of getting up in the morning at a certain time and having something to eat at a certain time. It's step one and two. But for a fool, according to this proverb, who's wise in his own eyes, how can you help him? He's a fool. Everybody can see it. And he's not only blind to his own folly, but he thinks his very foolishness is wisdom. And you're watching in economics. I taught economics in school. And, you know, it's just astonishing to me how we keep trying socialism even though it has consistently failed. I'm not talking about the sort of European hybrid of socialism for societal good mixed with very high-powered capitalism. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pure socialism where people who are producing have something taken off the top and it is given to people who don't produce. That has never, ever worked. Never, ever. But we're going to try it again because we're going to do it right. Listen, if you do it right, you assure that it will fail. Right? Because what do? You destroy your producing class. Sorry on the economics lesson. Well, I'm not sorry, but the problem for a fool is that, and I just heard a piece, it's like, does this lady have any idea what she's actually espousing? And so, but, you know, it comes across as wise and thoughtful and caring and all of this, and it's just foolish. And the problem is, short of God's grace, short of God doing even in common grace, a reversal of this thought, where a person goes to a country that is largely wholly driven by these kinds of things and has to live with what it's like. Communism's great until you got to live under it. Having, you know, been a guest in several communist countries, we breathe our freedom and we don't even know we're breathing it. Fool is worse than a sluggard, for he is wise in his own eyes. So those are some characteristics. Does not fear the Lord, does not listen to advice or accept rebuke. His mouth is a source of trouble. His folly is evident to everyone except himself. He cannot be trusted with a message or a proverb because he'll twist and turn it. And he's worse than a sluggard because it's very difficult to reverse the pride and self-sufficiency and self-importance. Now, the other thing I wanted to do, and I thought sometimes it's good to see something in contrast. How is it different? So I thought, well, let's look at a fool in contrast to the wise. This is what a fool is not. And so the book of Proverbs even does. When I started reading through, I says, oh, book of Proverbs does this quite a bit. And so, book of Proverbs contrasts a fool with a wise person who fears the Lord. Because he doesn't. A fool does not seek knowledge or understanding. But a wise person does. A fool does not receive, and the word here means to accept with acknowledgement, to bend under, to bow one's will under commandments and instruction. A fool does not speak with prudence and discretion, but a wise person does. A fool does not avoid strife and quarrels, but a wise person does. A fool does not love righteousness and hate evil, but a wise person does. A fool does not listen to counsel, nor accept discipline, but a wise person does. A fool does not guard his mouth, nor does he guard his heart. If he guards his heart, as a wise person does, the effect is that you guard your mouth, what you say, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. A fool does not use Proverbs wisely and appropriately, and therefore cannot benefit himself and others by his words and actions. But a wise person does. A wise person speaks wisely, instructs well. Why? Because that person has listened well. One of the better modern books on preaching was written as a tribute to Dick Lucas, who's one of my mentors in preaching. And one of Dick's great lessons in preaching is that we must first learn to listen before we, in his words, essay to speak. And so we are listening and listening and listening to advice and counsel, but particularly to God's word, before we stand up to say, to speak, to preach, to proclaim, to teach. But a fool does not use Proverbs wisely and appropriately. And therefore, he is of little benefit to others by his words and actions. So Proverbs 3:35 sums it up. The wise person will inherit honor, but the fool will suffer shame. And so see that the end is in view, but the path to that end is sometimes not as obvious. The wise person sees the foolishness and the folly, particularly the higher a fool is elevated in a place of leadership and a place of prominence. Now they don't have to be in leadership in order to have a place of prominence. All they have to do is be on social media in a way where people follow. Every time I hear the term influencer, I just want to roll on the floor and laugh. Says it all, right? So, in view of this then, how do we categorize a fool? Because it's not the same in every case. Not every fool is the same. And so you can take a look at how we can see how the book of Proverbs puts fools in different categories. Now, obviously, there's a lot of overlap here and a lot of repetition. And, of course, repetition's good because it's part of how we learn. But once again, looking at the character of a fool. Despised wisdom and instruction, chapter 1, verse 7. Hates knowledge, chapter 1, verse 22. He trusts in his own heart, 28:26, speaks rashly, 29:20, and he mocks at sin, chapter 14 and verse 9. A fool is arrogant, chapter 21, verse 24. He is quarrelsome, chapter 20, verse 3. He's lazy. Chapter 26, verses 13 to 16, and deceitful, chapter 14, verse 8. A fool also lacks self-control, chapter 29, verse 11. Lacks discernment, chapter 17, verse 24. And lacks understanding, chapter 10, and verse 21. There's the character of a fool. My creepy crawlies went into my throat, Linda. What are the consequences of being a fool? Proverbs lays this out very clearly. A fool will suffer harm. Chapter 10, verses 8 and 14. He will suffer shame. Chapter 3, verse 35. He will suffer ruin. Chapter 10 and verse 14. And he may even be brought to death. Chapter 10 and verse 21. Consequences of being a fool. Dreadful. Deadly. Destructive. A fool will also inherit folly. Chapter 14, verse 18. The idea here is the idea of a companionship as well as the generational passing on of foolishness. He will be exposed in chapter 10, verse 23. He will come to be despised, chapter 12, verse 15. In chapter 19, verse 29, he will come to be punished. Consequences of being a fool. A fool's way is right in his own eyes, but it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction because the fool's way is difficult to change, short of the grace of God, short of God's work in a person's life. Once again, to think about the contrast between a fool and the wise, and I chose a different set of verses for these. A wise person fears the Lord, chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 9, verse 10. But a fool does not. A wise person listens, and the word here is carefully, gives careful attention to instruction. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, chapter 12 and verse 15. The wise person loves knowledge, chapter 12, verse 1. and it seeks understanding, but the fool does not. If a fool is wanting to become wise, these are the areas, the categories, the character in which they move forward to strive. And it all begins with the fear of the Lord. It all begins with willing to listen and heed instruction and counsel. And it marches along under discipline, correction, and so on. A wise person speaks with prudence, chapter 10, verse 19, and acts with humility, chapter 11, verse 2. And a wise person walks with integrity, but the fool does not. Not careful in his speech, he is full of pride, and he lives in deceits. A wise person's words bring healing to others. A wise person's words bring life to others. Chapter 10, verse 11 and 21. And a wise person's words honor where honor is due. But a fool does not. A fool's words wound, kill, and disrespect where honor is due. A wise person's way is pleasant and peaceful and prosperous. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And chapter 13 and verse 14. But a fool's way is harmful, full of conflict, and leads to servitude and debt. So, how do we deal with a fool? Book of Proverbs gives us some general counsel on how to deal with a fool. I'm going to just kind of take a look at these without a lot of digging down, because so much of this requires some unpacking over a particular life and over a particular set of issues. See, people aren't fools in principles. They're fools in the particulars of their life. A person who is foolish may do well in some areas, but then in this one area, they just don't do well at all. They're just foolish. And so the details of the particulars of that area, what I'm about to say, needs to be applied. So I'm kind of flying at a high order. And if you're dealing with yourself and you're dealing with others, then you want to take these as a tool and learn how to use it. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 seem to contradict themselves. Very famous verses. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, if you're a black and white person, those two verses just contradicted each other. They told you, it seems, to do two different things. And in that, I want to pause here, because the answer, the question is, so which is it? Not answer the fool, or do answer a fool according to his folly? Well, it depends on the fool. Depends on the fool. But there is an embedded warning here. In being careful how you answer a fool, because you may answer him in a way that is foolish yourself. You see that? That's the first one. Lest you be like him. But you do answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And so you expose the foolishness often by using his own folly against him, using his own words against him. This is why I love the Babylon Bee. Y'all know the Babylon Bee? See, I grew up with, now I'm going to forget the name of it. Wittenberg Door. How many of you know the Wittenberg Door? Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I grew up with, pre-internet, pre-any all of this, you know, and just wait for the Wittenberg door to come out. And I finally outlawed it at the college I grew up in, but so I had to sneak up to Covenant College to see my Wittenberg door. But what Wittenberg door and Babylon Bee and the Onion is a humanistic, but it takes fools and just makes them look foolish using their own folly. Now, some people don't like it. Some people are uncomfortable with it. I think it's a scream. I have to sometimes watch myself appear because. And so be careful when you answer a fool that you are not being foolish yourself. First verse. But you can use a fool's folly against him. That's the sense. Second counsel for dealing with a fool is, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. This is Proverbs 23, verse 9. So being careful to when we use metaphors and images and proverbs and so on in our speaking, and recognizing that the fool listening to this will despise us as a person. Again, we're experiencing this all over Christianity and our place in the world, the words and the truths that we have to say in the world. He will despise the good sense of your words. What happens when a fool despises good sense? What happens? Somebody tell me. Doesn't he just become more foolish? Right? In fact, he becomes locked in his own cycle of folly because good sense can't penetrate his foolishness. Do not associate with a fool. You will not find knowledge on his lips. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Now, the word associate in the Hebrew is similar to the word companion, spending lots of time with. Do not associate with an angry man, lest you learn his ways. Being very careful who your friends are, who you associate with. Folly is more easily transmitted than wisdom. Drive out a scoffer and strife will go out. Quarreling and abuse will cease. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. And so looking, and one of the things over the years when I've been in places, business, church, other relationships, where you find strife and quarreling and abuse, one of the things I look for is the person who makes fun of serious things is often in the center of that conflict and difficulty. So how do we respond to different types of fools? Let's think about some of these texts and gain some insight into how to respond to a fool or to a person who is acting foolish. And how we respond sometimes depends on what kind of fool we are dealing with. And it seems there are different types of fools and therefore different ways to respond. First is the ignorant fool. I've used that term ignorant here. Here is a fool who hates knowledge and wisdom and only cares about expressing his own opinion. They have an opinion about everything. You know, sometimes I don't know if anybody talks like this anymore. A know-it-all? Do y'all know what a know-it-all is? Yeah. Kind of fool is not interested in learning and listening, but only in boasting and arguing. And so it's an ignorant fool. The best way to do this with this fool is just to avoid him or answer him according to his folly so that he doesn't think he is smarter than he really is. And so you respond to him according to his folly One commentator said, you can do said this way. I thought this was a little dumb, but I put it in here. The earth is flat, the fool says. Yep, in the same way the moon is made of cheese. All right. You expose his ignorance and you make him look ridiculous. Then there is the wicked fool. This is one who does wrong as a joke and mocks at sin. Kind of fool thinks that evil is fun, that there's no consequence for his actions. This is a kind of folly that is wrapped up in wickedness and sin and uses foolishness to excuse it, to empower it, to even commend it. He laughs at those who try to do good and he makes fun of their faith. The best way to deal with this kind of fool is to rebuke him. If he's a believer, to ignore him if he's not, so that he does not influence you or others with his wickedness. This way you can show him that you do not approve of his behavior and that you have better things to be engaged in. This is particularly important for young people. This is important in business matters where a wicked fool is trying to draw you into committing sin, committing illegal acts, and so on. To rebuke it, point out, call it what it is, and to be sure that you walk away. Don't engage it. A third type of fool is one who is deceitful. Slanderous. This kind of fool lies and spreads rumors about others and tries to cause trouble and division. He hides his hatred with lying lips and pretends to be friendly while plotting harm. And the best way to deal with this kind of fool is to expose him, confront him, so that he does not get away with his lies and schemes. See, one of the problems in our culture today, and sometimes one of the problems in our churches today, is that the lying and the deceitfulness of foolish people is simply winked at, it's passed off, it's laughed off. It's not confronted for what it is. And therefore, what does the foolish person think? Well, they think that you agree with them. And in some circumstances, they may even think that you are commending them. Another important way of dealing with this kind of fool is to go to the source. If this person is speaking slanderously, so-and-so did, so-and-so said, go to so-and-so and find out what they said and what they actually did. And this way you can reveal his dishonesty and stop his gossip. Many other types of fools in the book of Proverbs, but they all have one thing in common. They lack the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the respect and reverence that the Lord is due, is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It is the beginning of being wise. But fools despise and reject the fear of the Lord. And the only way for a fool to repent, to become wise, is to repent of his folly and to turn to God for forgiveness and guidance. The only way for a fool is to repent and to reverence and respect and honor God. Otherwise, he will face the consequences of his foolishness in this life and may even in the next life, the life to come. Well, just some things to think about in conclusion. Here are some principles so that you can grow in your own wisdom. First, and this is a hard one. People don't like to accept this, but folly is the natural inborn state of people. Your beautiful, sweet, lovely little grandchild is born a fool. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. The scripture says, do you believe that? They are naturally foolish. It is not an acquired state. and it is either slowly replaced with growing submission and wisdom, or it is intensified by growing rebellion and sophisticated foolishness. And folly can only be reversed through discipline. It can be taught and should be taught, but it will only be replaced by experiencing the natural or imposed consequences for choices. Now, don't hear discipline and think immediately of corporal punishment. That is a form of discipline. But the disciplines of life are an important aspect of the way God deals with people and causes us to grow in wisdom. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different consequence. No, that's just foolish. That's not insanity. That's just foolish. It's almost, you could take the whole book of Proverbs and sort of pour it into one or two sentences and that would be one of them. Folly may be out of ignorance. Folly may be out of scorn. Or it may be out of blatant, open disregard or rebellion against God, against His Word, against His ways, and even against His design. A great deal of what we're seeing in the transgender and all of the same-sex kind of expressions in our world are simply folly in open rebellion and disregard for God's original design. God made me like this and I want to be different. Murder is striking out at the image of God in man. Homosexuality is striking out against the design of God for human beings. And the Christian is to be growing in wisdom. You are to be making more and more wise decisions as God teaches, corrects, and chastens you in the flow of life. But you know, there is a kind of foolishness that the world talks about. It's defined by the world. And this is how the world looks at things. And the world says, that's foolish. The world then sees the cross as folly, as foolishness. And yet, Paul says, in the cross is the very wisdom of God manifested. Oh, there is a folly defined by the world, but it looks at, it sees, it apprehends what God has done in our redemption through Christ's death on the cross and says that is foolish. And we say, no, there is the wisdom and the power and the provision of God. How do we respond to a person who is a fool or who is foolish? We respond with wisdom. It comes from God. We respond with love. It covers a multitude of sins. We respond with prayer because we know it is God who can change and does change hearts and minds. We also remember that we are not perfect ourselves and that we need God's grace every day lest we become prideful and spiritually foolish. And we hope that by our words and actions, we can help some fools become wise and some wise to become wiser. I pray that God will grant that for us. Brady, would you take us to the throne of grace, please?